Happy Easter. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made, that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Thank you. Bishop Dion began and ended his Good Friday Vesper service reflection with a question. What do you do with a dead Messiah? And I want to thank you, Bishop Dion, for this earworm that has been boring its way deeper into my prayer ever since.
You're welcome.
So many dear friends and family members, parishioners and congregants in my life through the years have embraced me at the door on their way out of a Palm Sunday or Passion Sunday worship and said softly in my ear, I will see you on Easter. It was their intention to skip Holy Week. It's just too hard. I understand. It is hard. Yet I have found that I cannot even contemplate Easter, this day of Christ our Savior's resurrection, this day of our resurrection, resurrection to new life, new hope, a renewed call to love deeply and with abandon. I simply cannot come to this day until I have traveled with Jesus through his passion and unspeakably painful death. In these many years throughout my ordained ministry, when I have had the great blessing and privilege of preaching on Easter Day, I seem never to be able to ponder and read, study and pray my way to a message for this day until it is finished. Until the cross, the death, Good Friday, until I have lived again the passion with my Lord. Until I have walked alongside this Jesus who gave himself dearly to an unfathomably deep love for the oppressed, the outcast, the refugee and marginalized, those cast aside by empire. And I find I have to walk the way of the cross and be there while others jeer and deride Jesus. Many, the very same ones who had shouted just days before, Hosanna. I'm compelled into the courtyard with Peter, remembering the times in my life when I have denied Jesus by denying his loved ones the equity and justice all are meant to enjoy. Through sins done and left undone, sins done on my behalf. There just is no Easter until I experience again the soldiers as they whip and mock love incarnate and weep at the foot of the cross with Jesus' dear mother and hear in the voice of suffering love, Jesus look down from that cross and join his mother with a new son to care for her in her grief and through her life. Until I have contemplated the power of empire, with its thirst to overcome all threats to its supremacy, and it nailed the Savior of all humankind to the cross. It's too painful. It's true. And yet I am compelled year after year to walk with the Savior of love as he walks with me and walks with you and those who deny him every single hour of every day. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. And with his last breath, he asks for God to forgive. And it is finished. What do we do with a dead Messiah? The Advent hymn, Signs of Endings All Around Us, came to mind as I prayed these words. Sorry, allergies. The second verse tells us, can it be that from our endings, new beginnings you create? Life from death, and from our rendings, realms of wholeness generate. Take our fears then, Lord, and turn them into hopes for life anew. Fading light and dying season, sing their glorias to you. Siblings in Christ, this is the day that the Lord has made. When we meet Mary Magdalene before daylight at the tomb, we come with the question still on our lips, what do we do with a dead Messiah? I think of the times I have questioned the presence of Christ in my own life, in things small and large, here and there. Times when I have missed seeing the angels present who have come to help me sense the blessings and love that God scatters everywhere in my life and upon my being. In those encounters where I have forgotten that the person right in front of me asking for support or help or food or water or a bus ticket, even the one in front of me who's angry with me, all these and every encounter are moments of grace when I miss resurrection. When I miss the resurrected loving Christ right there in front of me. And then the supposed gardener says her name, Mary. Says my name, Kathy. Says your name. And we are brought to ourselves, that self that is a witness to the promise kept, to resurrection, to those places in life where life is new, where there are new possibilities, new and renewing hope, all bringing me, us, to new life itself. Our dead Messiah is alive. He lives. He has risen. Risen in outrageous love for me and for you and for every single one of us. This risen Christ has shown us what it is to believe, to see with the eyes of faith, to live with these faith eyes open and an incarnate love beating inside of us. Alleluia! Christ is risen. And it takes this journey that brings me to uncontrollable tears, wrenching pain, repentance of my sin at my collusion with empire, instead of walking with the beloved community, which Jesus lived and walked and planted and calls me to give myself to keep building. It sometimes takes the bitter taste of remembering my sin and my brokenness, my denials, however small or large, of the presence of the incarnate one in the other. It takes my dying to self. It takes this journey with Jesus for me to come to see that our Messiah, who was dead, is alive. And because he lives, I live. And because he lives, you live. And because he lives, we all live. As Amy Parr writes in her commentary on our gospel for this morning, like Mary returning to the tomb when others went back home, many people come to church on Easter morning, not sure what they're looking for. We come weighed down with grief and disappointment, hungry for hope. And even those who come to church confident and joyful are still learning what it means to believe in Jesus and claim our identity as children of God, resurrected. We are all like Mary, somewhere between grief and joy, somewhere between despair and faith. And we have this gift in our gospel today, a personal encounter between Mary and Jesus. No one else is there. John's gospel is a story of encounters, as our lives often are. From Nicodemus and the Samaritan woman to Mary and Thomas to Mary and Jesus. The good news of Easter is that these encounters continue. We're offered the gift of rising to new life and new vision today. To see in ourselves, to see in every person in our lives, and in every beloved person of God that we encounter along the way. To see in them the very face of the incarnate, risen Christ. Christ has gained for us resurrection, which cannot come without death. There is no Easter without Good Friday. Today, dear ones, we gather in person on Easter Day for the first time in 3 years. And I'm also thinking we should have an egg hunt every Sunday. And we come to celebrate our risen Christ, our renewed and renewing hope. And this in itself is to be rejoiced. We have grieved much and too many loved ones in these days. We were often not able to gather, to mourn in community like this and celebrate their lives, commending them together to the God who endured the shame and pain of the cross and rose for them and for us. And yet, in the midst of all of that, in those 3 years, he rose. In the midst of our losses and griefs and struggles and challenges, he rose. And he rises today. Yesterday morning, I was listening to Weekend Edition Saturday, Scott Simon. And he reminded me that in the midst of wars, crimes, and the suffering of innocence, Jesus rises. The warming of the planet and the rising of the seas. Wildfires, lockdowns, detainment camps, and millions displaced by war, drought, hunger, and dictatorships. Sometimes there is too much to take in. It's hard. Yet this is a weekend that includes Passover, Easter Sunday, and the continuation of Ramadan. Holidays about rescue, renewal, and reflection. Stories about the parting of seas for a people to escape slavery. A great soul rising and fasting and long nights of prayer to remind ourselves of the preciousness of life. As we shout our acclamation of hope today, remember the gift of these overlapping holidays. These are siblings in this world. Sister Margaret Guider of the Boston College School of Theology and Ministry, yes, go Boston, sent to Weekend Edition a poem that reads in part, "The convergence of these sacred days should serve as a collective reminder that the prophetic heritage of our respective faith traditions, whether adhered to or not in the ways of our ancestors, continues to permeate the air which the human family breathes of freedom and love and peace, the life-giving breath of the Holy One. Yet many of us throughout the year breathe through our mouths while we hold our noses. In doing so, we defend ourselves from the suffocating air of bondage, hatred, and violence that surrounds us. However, in doing so, we also close ourselves off from any opportunity of smelling the scents of justice, hope, and compassion, that also arouse conscience, giving rise to courage and resiliency. Perhaps these holy days will provide us with an opportunity to open ourselves, to be moved, Christians, East and West, Muslims, Shia and Sunni, and Jews, Orthodox and Reformed, to breathe in the sense of the sacred, of freedom, love, and peace, that we are called to release, to breathe out, not only on special days, but every day. Dear ones, we no longer have to hold our breath, wondering if we will have a dead Messiah. Because of the promise kept of resurrection, Christ's presence now knows no geographic or temporal boundaries. He lives in us, around us, beyond us, and with us. He has met those loved ones of ours that have died with a love unfathomable to many. And he meets us this day and every day with an outrageous love for you. A love that fills us to overflowing. A love that is meant to be breathed out, meant to be shared not only among our closest loves, but with all God's people, and especially among those with whom Jesus spent so much of his short life on earth. In this great love, we are called to continue to work tirelessly with all our siblings of every or no faith to build together the beloved community in which one day all lives will rise to the place at the table of justice, equity, mercy, and love already set for every single one by our Savior and risen Christ. As my mentor and spiritual director, Brother Curtis Ampris, wrote in the Society of St. John the Evangelist Good Friday Post, Jesus entering Jerusalem was doing an old thing in a new way. There's no way he could rival the power of the Roman Empire, and he doesn't even try to. He confronts violent, violating power with the principled power of nonviolent love. So what is stirring in your soul, where some power structure must be redressed? Jesus prays to God, your kingdom come, your beloved community come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. On this day of the resurrection of life and hope and love itself, let us know how outrageously we are loved. Good Friday wasn't skipped, or we wouldn't have Easter. That's how much we are loved. Let us trust that this risen Christ raises us too to new life and new and loving possibilities, even in most profoundly in the midst of tyranny, oppression, hate, and war. Let us let the love within us overflow from us, that together we may be an answer to Jesus' prayer, that there may be a blessed kingdom of love, of reconciliation and justice on earth as it is in heaven. We no longer have a dead Messiah. Our Messiah has risen to new life, and so have we all. And here ends the worm in my ear. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Alleluia, alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.